So most of the work that I've done here has been in miniature. And since lately I'm thinking a lot about what to read to miniature people, I'm going to read you fairy tales. Hen, Cock, and Duck from A Pack of Ragamuffins. Hen and Cock were bored with corn. "Let's us eat nuts," they said, and off they stole to steal some nuts from Squirrel. The world was a round place. If you set off in one direction, you'd only come back from the other. Empty of nuts, the shells were useless, until they were not. Cock thought straight lines were the best answer. Needle and pin are fine examples. Cock raised a wing to pontificate his point. He pointed at Duck. "Ooh, aren't duck lives curved?" he cooed. Once, before the story began, when sentences were shaped the equal of questions, Duck had herself a duck of her own choosing, who hung himself before the story began. No one knew why Duck's duck had done it. Depression is sometimes the undoing of ducks. A noose provides an ellipsis. Cock feathered his comb, drew in the dirt straight lines for Duck. Cock showed Duck with spurs. Duck could not learn them. A struggle ensued. Cock strapped Duck to the cart made of nutshells, and pointed her straight. Most duck lines are curved. Host wanted breakfast. No one could blame him. Hen had an egg. Cock had a plan. An egg is a round place. Duck hadn't eggs. They offered her up, too. Cock and hen ate their egg in secret. Empty of eggs, shells become weapons. Duck walked out in the night. Needle and pin had each other at least. Fine with posture, they stepped on no toes. When asked, they poked host in the face, sat like attack in his chair. The shell of the egg had agency of its own. A noose implies an elliptical space, an ellipsis, eclipse. Host became uncharitable. Hen choked on a nut. The bride wanted a wreath. Cock drowned six mice, a fox, a stone, a coal, and then fret to death upon hen's grave hill. Then they were all dead save Needle, Pin, and Host, who got over their scrape and feasted upon fowl. Water Up from Frederick and Catherine. Words crashed on either side. An ocean lapping waves along the crests of a slowly filling canyon. Something about a lover. The new memory is not like the old. The mind reaches for a meaning and closes its fist on empty air, but let us try. Think, organs, search yourselves. Help us to remember. The pastor had held out her hand in marriage. A blunt-fingered instrument, this entrance into matrimony, less seduction than she were promised. It would seem her mouth shaped up little vessels, sailed them out into open air, only to crash the columns of his head and fall, clatterly, aground. Her tongue and lips placed into position, send out more, as moments, as thoughts speeding from her to no ingestion, his ears and eyes unwilling. He, a warner of door thieves and knaves and so many, a sender of tasks and errands, what dogs and running things in her way, he scolds her. She brings him a bounty if she cannot speak, a returner with worlds upon her back, a pitcher for him to drink from, a vine, fruit for his sating, a door for his escape, and still the logic is squelching. The food, water cast aground, and squirrel eaten. Her grasp is slipping. Please hear me, her empty hands say, but don't, and less heard she becomes a lesser and less her. Into the field, a harvest for a purpose she cannot remember. What torn her clothes and how did they? Come this wandering, lonesome, waiting water cold, she walks a deepening silence, a dark liquid, slowly rising like snowfall, but upways and thigh-ridden. Water up, a field only, no canyon, the corn in her hands, a turnip. Pastory, I am brought you. Here, she's offering, as best she can tell, to the man who did sold her. What am I? She asks as he turns his face from her. If a condition from the robber bride. If a condition of valiant charmers, as any recollection or consideration might claim to be, should render one limbless. If a notion, a hatchet, or a scalpel. If the enchanters have come to take a digit with them, cut it free at the place a ring could sit. Valiant souvenir. If they have stolen a fist or a tongue, do not worry. Smiling quilters stand at the ready, with needles poised and glinting. O table of easy listeners, O table of English majors, discerning suitors have undone you. You've become a multiformity. Be not undone by your new state of glistening variety. Quilting voices, scale drawing. Quilting voices draw scaling notes with each smooth movement. Hands as the glass bird that dips for water, pump on an oil well. Reconnectors all with factory precision. Public radio contributors, be not excluded. The weight of the axe is upon you. Linguists, journeymen of the letter, we are not wayfaring strangers. Upon the table, limbs and a torso. In dim light, the body's mysteries revealed. Each joint and nerve bundled or clustered, a bloodless constellation. How long has the sediment of sentience plagued you? Find solace in the dip, puncture, pull, taut cloth panels, a needle pulling thread. Open crown of the scalp reveals a language function. Do not call out, O language of raw consent, the hours are stolen. O moment of throat-swollen agreement, your little voice has left me. Waste breath no longer. Only ask and they will embroider. Bright red stitching. Adorn the curling gray beneath that open flap of skull, that place of schism that has left your whole existence limping, they'll sew it back together. Winter Kindling from Hansel and Gretel. A meander, snow forest with father, splinter broke lattice pieces with kerosene, the follow path, sister, brother, leave us fetch home. Starvation onto deposit. Night pursue the illuminant, the dark fall heavy on either side. Line from candy house to everything wished for. Matches from witch burning oven, burning us which bring us home. Weeping mother, on the stairs. And the last one is from The Changeling. It's called Form Follows Function. On the fourth evening, after Edmund and Anna were married in the church with the steeple, Edmund carried home the misshapen child from the factory. Anna stood by the sink where she had been preparing the evening meal. The unnatural corners of the little thing's noggin were evident through the swaddling in Edmund's arms. "They couldn't use this one," he said, as he emptied the wood from the basket and cradled the infant inside it. "It would seem," he told her, "that there is only enough demand in the market for the children of the correct size and shape." Anna, disheartened by the news of the declining economy and fearful for her husband's employment, loosed the buttons of her blouse. Though her breasts feared the child's succo, her nipples squared themselves in preparation. Thank you.